So tonight, I'm going to go ahead and start. If you guys got your B-I-B-L-E's, who got their Bible? Their Bible, the Word of God. One thing that when I was in youth church, that Pastor Shear instilled into me, because he was my youth pastor when I first started off, was John 1:1. Anybody know it? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you want to know God, you want to know what His plans for your life, if you want to know what you need to know, you need to get in your Word, because guess what? This is God. This is God's holy, prophetic Word for us. His instruction manual. You know, there's a lot of self-help books out there, and the ways to better yourself and work on your finances and all that. But how many know that this is the best self-help book that you'll ever get? Amen. The best self-help book that you will ever get. Because you know what? This isn't about us. This is about His glory. Amen. So I'm gonna turn over to the forbidden book. The forbidden book. Turn over to Job. Oh, watch out now. People just like, oh, no. Job. We're going to turn over to Job. Has anyone even looked at Job before? I'm just curious. We don't talk about it here at Bias Work Christian Center. We just don't talk about it. But we're going to talk about it tonight. Amen. And I just want you guys to know, at Bias Work Christian Center, the way that we level out our spirituality is by belly size. And so I just want to let you know that I am quite spiritual. I have surpassed Pastor Jan and many of you, so you guys are in good hands. So I'm just letting you know now that you guys are good to go. Okay? Amen? Sorry, Pastor. Jeez Louise. All right, so turn over to Job, and we're going to start in chapter 1 and verse 13. It says, now this is some stuff that's going on with Job, and it says, one day Job's sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine together at the oldest brother's house. A messenger came to Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the donkeys were eating grass nearby. When the Sabaeans, thank you, attacked and carried them away. They killed the servants with swords, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. The messenger was still speaking when another messenger arrived and said, lightning from God fell from the sky. It burned up the sheep and all the servants, and I am the only one who escaped to tell you. Then the second servant was still speaking. How many know when you guys get bad news, it kind of comes in a row sometimes? It kind of just comes, bam, 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 bam. Anybody have more than one kid? How many know they come all at the same time? They always come at the same time. He did that. No, I did this. And no, he did this. The second messenger was still speaking, and the other messenger arrived and said, the Babylonians sent three groups of attackers that swept down and stole your camels and killed them and all your servants, and I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. The third messenger was still speaking when another messenger arrived and said, your sons and daughters were eating, drinking wine together in the oldest brother's house. Suddenly a great wind came from the desert, hitting all four corners of the house at once. The house fell in on the young people, and they are all dead. I'm the only one who escaped to tell you. And I just want to skip down to verse 22, and it says, in all this, Job did not sin or blame God. If you guys can, just go ahead and bow your heads. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you that, Lord, that it's not me, Lord, but it's you working through me, Father. And not one word that comes out of my mouth, Lord, is not from me, Father, but it's directly from you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, that we have this tool to get to know you, Father, and whenever we have our lives go to and fro, Father, we know that your word is constant, Father. We're the variable, and I thank you, Father, that we know without a shadow of a doubt, Father, who you are, Lord, and what you're doing inside of us. In your mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. So like I'm saying, have you guys ever had a time in your life where it was just the final straw? The straw that broke the camel's back, if you will. The deal breaker, if you will. Whether it be, you know, any married people up in here? Any married people? Come on now. You know, sometimes you got some stuff going on in your life, maybe with work, maybe with finances, maybe with your wife, your spouse, your husband, boyfriend, girlfriends, friend, family, whatever it is. And sometimes, it comes in a row. It just comes and it comes and it comes and it comes. And life gets tough sometimes. And it's that final thing that it just sets you off. It actually goes on to say in verse chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, Hold on, let me find it. Chapter 2 and verse 7, it says, so Satan left the Lord's place. He put painful sores on Job. He put painful sores on Job, and then it goes on to say in chapter 3 and verse 1 that he cursed the day that he was ever born. It's funny because, like I was saying, all this stuff happens in our life sometimes at once, and it's that final straw. His kids died, all of his oxen were taken, his camels died, and you know he's still, you know what, I'm not going to blame God. You know, I'm just going to praise God, I'm going to love God. But then that final thing happened, he got a rash, and he's like, forget it! Forget it, I'm done! And that happens with us sometimes, amen? Where you can handle so much. You can handle so much. And then you get that rash and you're like, what the heck, Lord? What the heck? I can handle all that, but this is the final thing. This is absolutely the final thing. And that was going on with Job. He had all this turmoil and all this stuff happened in his life. And you know, he's like, Lord, God, you're good. And then he gets that rash and he's just like, forget it, I'm done. I'm done. And once again, that happens so often in our lives where it's just the final straw. It's the deal breaker. You know, God, where are you? Why are you letting this happen to me? And so many times we want to begin to blame God. God, why would you let my mom get cancer? Why would you let my parents get a divorce? Why would you let this happen? Why would you let me lose my job? And you guys have to understand that we live in a fallen system. We live in a dying world. You know, how many people that you already know that everything's on a, I remember Keith Hershey preaching on this, everything's on a depreciation schedule. Everything's on a depreciation schedule. And for a lot of us, we thought our houses were all appreciating. And then we found out that that's also part of the dying system. We found out hard. I know with me and my wife, we bought it towards the end of it. And so we're like, oh man, we gotta steal. And then we went to go finance a couple weeks ago, and we found out that we owe a lot more than it's worth now. We found out that we are also a part of the dying system. We're also part of that depreciating value. And you know what? The thing is, we put our trust in this world and the things of this world. We think, well, if I do this and I do that, why can't I prosper? If I'm doing all the right things, if I'm going to church every Sunday, if I'm serving in my local church, if I'm praying, I'm giving, and we're doing all the right things, but life still happens. Life still happens. You guys have to understand that we don't serve God for what He gives us. We serve God for what He's already done. Amen. Johnny stole my point, but that was good. You know, that's the reason we serve God. We don't serve God because of what He can do for us. We serve God for what He's already done. You know, and we get so frustrated sometimes. God, why would you let this happen? Why would you let that happen? And I know the toughest part for people, if you talk about marriage, where marriage fails, majority of the time it's finances. Finances. People struggle with finances. I struggle with finances. We all struggle with finances. We always want more. And we say, God, why am I not... Why is this going on in my life? Why can't... Like, you know, I'm sure some of you guys in this economic time, you lost your house. You might be able not to afford your cars. You might be not able to afford the things that you want to do. And you're like, God, why is all this going on? And then finally your kids come in and they tell you they got a rash. And you're like, forget it. Forget it. I'm done. And it just, the stuff piles up. But we need to realize that God's not the one that's doing it. We're part of the dying system. We don't serve God because of what He can do for us. We serve God because of what He's already done. Amen. You know, we need to stop believing in the circumstances that surround us. We need to stop believing in the circumstances that surround us. You know, how many know that the devil is a liar? The devil is a liar. And so many times we trust in the lie instead of the Word of God. You know, the circumstances say this, God, where are you? Well, have you read my Word? Because if you read my Word, if you trusted in my Word, you know I'm already there. You know I'm already making a plan. You already know I'm making a provision. You know that God's already there because people, we begin to trust in our circumstances more than our Heavenly Father. You know, Lord, I'm looking at this pocketbook. I'm looking at my checking account. I'm seeing this. Why are you letting this happen? Because we're trusting in that pocketbook. We're trusting in that almighty dollar. Then we're trusting in the Almighty. You know, we can't put our trust into a dying system. We can't put our trust into something that's what happens. You're born, you live, you die. It's a dying system. It's a dying system. And we put our trust into it. We put our trust into a dollar bill more than we do God. Well, you know what? God, I need this money. No, you need me. God, I had plans. I had plans for my life and the things that you promised me. And I remember in prayer that you promised me and they're not coming through. Why not? Because we're looking at our circumstances more than we're looking at the Word of God. We need to break that down. We need to realize, you know what? My life says something, but you know what? God's Word, God has already said something way different, way contrary. And that's hard for anybody. Our human flesh, it's hard to say, you know what, look at something and say that it is, and it doesn't even look like it. You know what, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. But you know what, you're looking at those circumstances, you're looking at the, I'm not going to be okay. I don't got enough money to pay my mortgage this month. Or I'm not going to be okay. My mom's on the brink of dying of cancer. You look at the circumstances. No, my mom's healed. My mom doesn't actually have cancer, by the way. So I just wanted to clarify. Diane's dying? No, she's fine. But we look at our circumstances when we need to be looking at the Word of God. We need to be looking at the Word of God. If you guys got your Bible still, turn over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Go ahead and start in verse 16 as well. Now this is Paul. He's going out. He's sharing the good news. Paul's going out. He's doing what God's called him to do. He's doing what God has ordained him to do. He's doing all the right things. He's out loving God and loving people. He's doing exactly what God has called him to do. And you know what happens? So he goes out, Paul and Silas, and there's this girl over their shoulder, like, and just hipping and hopping and yelling all this stuff. And after a couple days, Paul gets to the point where he's just completely of it. He's completely sick of it. And you know, he's like, you know what? Forget it. And he casts out the demon out of her. He's doing God's work now, because how many know that it's not God's will for you to have a demon in you? How many know that it's God's will for you to suffer? That is not God's will at all. Amen. You guys need to know the true nature of God, and that is never God's will for you to suffer. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. And so this girl, she's jumping around. So Paul's like, you know what? Boom. And he casts this demon out of her. And so it goes on that the girl, she's a servant now, and her owners get mad because they're making some money off of her because she's telling people's fortunes. And I just wanted to let you guys know, don't be dabbling in that stuff. It's garbage. You guys that are on Facebook and you're horoscoping it up, delete that stuff. Come on now. We don't need to be messing with that stuff. Amen. And so he cast the demon out of her. And now they're mad because that was a moneymaker. She was a moneymaker. And so they go to the Romans, and they're like, they're up in here causing some mess, and I don't appreciate it. I don't appreciate it. And so guess what? Once again, you guys have to understand, Paul and Silas were doing God's will. Paul and Silas were doing God's will, but then life happens sometimes. Life happens. They grab them. They throw them in prison. And they let them know what exactly Paul and Silas are capable of. And so they get scared of that God working inside them. So they put them in the farthest back part of the prison. And they pin their feet down. They're like, they know that God is real. And they know that God can do some stuff. So they're going to cover their bases. And they're just going to put them in the farthest back part of the prison. Like, God will never find them here. And if he does, he won't be able to get the stuff off their feet. So we should be good to go. And so that's what they're doing. Paul and Silas, they're out doing God's will. They're out doing God's work. And they are persecuted for it. And they didn't go, God, where are you? God, why have thou forsaken me? God, why? You told me to go here. You told me to do this. You told me you provide for me. But this is going on. Why? Why is this going on? You know what they begin to do? You know what they begin to do? Paul has it. Paul has it. In verse 25, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were there praying and singing songs to God as the other prisoners listened. You know, sometimes some things in our life, we can't explain it. We don't understand it. It's just, why is this happening to me? I know a couple of years back, I've shared this story many times. I was a barista. Holla. How many of you like Starbucks? Come on. Forza? Idiots. No, I'm just kidding. Starbucks. I worked at Starbucks for a couple of years. Actually, I believe 4 or 5 years I worked at Starbucks. And I'm sure you guys have been in this place before with different job situations. You think you deserve more. You think you deserve so much more than you're getting. I was in this place where, you know, I was promised a promotion for a couple years. And I just got so frustrated, you know, to the point of tears. I was just like, God, I was promised this. I deserve this. Anybody else ever seen that? I deserve this. Shut up. You don't deserve it. You got what you deserved. Anyways, and so I'm in the back of the store, and I'm washing dishes, and I'm so frustrated. You know, I deserve more than this. I put my heart, my soul in this company. They promised me this. They promised me that. And God, why am I even here? Why am I here? And I'm so frustrated. And God comes to me, and he says, because I have placed you here. God likes to smack you around a little bit, change up for some perspective sometimes. And so I was so focused on my promotion. I was so focused on the little bit more money I would make and the better hours I would get that I forgot about the souls that I was supposed to be affecting while being there. The souls that I was supposed to be affecting while God placed me in that place. But I was so focused on a couple bucks. I was so focused on my selfish desires, my selfish ambitions. Why am I not getting what I deserve? Why am I not getting what I deem that I deserve? God comes and says, because I've placed you here. Man, that rocked my world. And it helped me change my perspective. You know what? If God has called you, if God has called you to be a missionary in Iceland, Sam, if God's called you to be a missionary in Iceland and you're supposed to live in a cave the whole time, so in 40 years, this guy, one guy's passing by and you're supposed to talk to him about Christ, and that's your whole life, well done, good and faithful servant. We need to change up what we view as a successful life. We need to change up what we deem as a successful life. You know, so many times, especially in American culture, we look at how big our house is, how many cars I got, what kind of toys I got in my garage, you know, how big my television is. Hello, come on. How big my TV is, how many video games I got. And that's what we deem as a successful life. But that's not what God's called us to do. Not to live this life in such a way to win the race. To go where God's called us to be. That's the race. To be what God's called us to be. And not be so frustrated with what life throws in front of us sometimes. Because guess what? God was the same yesterday when you had that good time in your life. God's the same today when you're having a crappy day. And God's the same tomorrow when you're having the best day of your life. You guys have to understand that God, He's the constant. We're the variable. God's constant. God's Word is constant. God is constant love, agape love, perfect, unending love. That's who God is. Now us, we're the variable. I'm having a good day, I'm having a bad day, I'm having a great day, I'm having a poopy day. And we're the variable. We flop to and fro. We flop to and fro. Paul and Silas, they're in prison now. They're not having a good day in the natural. They're not having a good day. How many know that that's not a good day? You're in prison, you're doing what God's called you to do, you're doing what God has told you to do, and now I'm in prison, and this isn't nowadays prisons where you get basic cable. This is hardcore prison where they bind down their feet. They bind them. They can't do anything. They don't know where water's coming from. They don't know the next time they're going to eat. And they got little rats nibbling at their toes and stuff. That's what's really going down. And we're like, God, I can't pay my cable bill. Where are you? Why have thou forsaken me? And that's what we're looking at. But you know what? Paul and Silas, they have it so right. God's constant. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's love is perfect. And they begin to praise and worship. Begin to sing songs out to God. How many know that if you want a breakthrough in your life, you just need to start praising God. You just need to start praising God. You just need to start praising God because we don't measure the life success by how many cars we have, how big our house is. We measure life success by what God has called us to do, and we obeyed. Did we obey? And I'm preaching to myself now, I promise. I'm preaching to myself. You know, am I doing what God's called me to do? Am I being the man that God has called me to be? Am I being the true light that God has called me to be? You know, so many times in our life, we get so focused on ourselves. We get so self-centered. I know at work, it was a couple months ago now. If you guys don't know, I do maintenance for a living. I fix stuff. It's a pretty cool job. I like it. Jerry! And so I go into work and I'm like, okay, it's gonna be an okay day. It's pouring down rain, but you know, I was jamming some good worship music. I'm like, it's gonna be a pretty good day. It's gonna be a good day. And so I get to work and I sit down and the way that my job works is they hand me whatever jobs I have to do that day. And so, mind you, at this time it's pouring down rain outside, pouring down rain. And he just gives me one work order. We call them work orders. He gives me one work order for the day. I'm like, sweet, today it's going to be a good day. Oh, yeah. He gives me one work order. I look at it, and what it is we have these things. They're like these old school. You guys remember Little House on the Prairie? They're like the pump spigots or whatever. This is now day one, so it's just you pull it up and water comes out. You don't got to pump nothing. But it's this old school spigot. Now, I have to replace the spigot. It's outside. Yes, that's correct. That's where spigots usually are. It's outside. It's pouring down rain. And the way that you actually get to it is you got to dig about 3 feet or so. And pouring down rain. And so I'm looking at this thing. I'm like, are you kidding me? Reschedule this for a nice day. Today is not a nice day. And I get mad. I'm just looking at this thing, and I'm like, I'm going to punch this dude in the throat. He's going down. I'm mad. I'm like, reschedule this stuff. And I'm just festering, and I know you guys know what I'm talking about. I'm just festering in my own little thing, and I'm like, seriously? I'm getting all mad and stuff. And I get in my work van, and I have my little iPod that plays through my sound system. And how many know that God sometimes has a sense of humor? How many know that he usually has a sense of humor? God is good, and humor is good, and he likes to laugh at us sometimes. So I get in my car, and once again, I'm still steaming at this point. I'm mad. I'm furious. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I don't deserve this. Talked about that earlier. I don't deserve this, and they're treating me like this. And so I turn on my car, and this worship song pops up. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And, man, I'll tell you what. I was like, shut up, God. You don't even know what I'm going through. You have no idea. 3 feet, it's raining outside. You want me to rejoice? Stop the rain. You can do that. That's who you are. And so I was so convicted. I was so convicted. I'm like, Lord, you're right. You know, God doesn't make bad days. We make them bad days. You know what I'm saying? And so Paul and Silas, they're having a bad day. They're having a bad day. And they just begin to worship and praise God. And my favorite part of that, in verse 25, the end, it says that the other inmates were watching them. How many know that people see your example? People see your example. People watch you. As soon as you proclaim to be a Christian and put that stamp on your forehead, people watch you. They watch your actions. They watch your integrity. They watch your characteristics. They watch you. Because how many know that for some people, we might be the only Jesus that they ever see? The only light that they'll ever see. And so Paul and Silas, that's exactly what they're doing. God's still the same. Life happens. Stuff happens. God's still the same. God's still the same. And they just begin to worship and praise and pray to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Over in Daniel chapter 3, there's these guys, and if you know the VeggieTale version, it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Benny. Ben to who? I'm Benny. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the three young guys, they're all hopped up on the Lord, like, this is a good thing. And they're loving life. And so they're going, and this, how many know that we got some people in our lives, they're authority figures, and they're just not the smartest sometimes. They got this King Nebuchadnezzar going on. And they say, you know what we're going to do? We're going to worship that rock. We're going to do what? That golden rock, we're going to worship that. You know it's a rock, right? Yeah, but it's a big rock. A really big rock. You're an idiot. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I'm not bowing to that. That's a rock. I bow to the Almighty and Him alone. Him alone. And so King Nebuchadnezzar catches wind of this, because how many know that there's some gossipers even back then? They're like, oh, wise king, they're not doing what you told them to do. Kill them. Just kill them. Kill them. And so that's what happened. We got some gossip queens in here too. I know you. And I'm just kidding. Not really. And so he's like, they're not bowing to my rock. Bring that to me. And so they bring him to him. They say, why aren't you bowing to it? If you guys can, turn over there real quick. I just want to read it. I don't want to mess it up. It's Daniel chapter 3. In verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, saying, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves to you. If you throw us into the blazing furnace... Oh, by the way, if they don't worship the big rock, they die. So it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, saying, Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves to you. If you throw us into that blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from the furnace. He will save us from your power, O king. And this is what I love right here. It says, but even if God does not save us, we want you, O king, to know this. We will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Amen. You know, I really believe that God's looking for some even if believers and not if believers. I truly believe that God's looking for a generation. And I believe in a generation from 0 to 100. We're the generation. God's looking for a people to say, even if you don't come to the capacity that I want you to come to, I'm still going to serve you. Even if He doesn't come save us, we still know God's God. Yes. God's still God. You know, so many times in our lives, we go through some stuff and we're, God, why aren't you there? Why aren't you helping me in this thing? Why aren't you coming through? Why aren't you providing the way that I want you to provide? And begin to try to make deals with God instead we're making deals with the devil. And we're trying it so hard in our own capacity to put God in this box that we think He needs to be in. God, these are the things that I need, the things that I want, the things that I desire. Why aren't you doing them for me? Instead of being even if believers. God, I know this is going on in my life. I know that it looks bad. I know that it looks grim. I know I don't know if I'm going to get through it. But even if you don't come to the capacity that I want you to come, I'll still serve you and you alone. I'll still serve you and you alone. God's looking for some even if believers. Even if. He doesn't want if believers. He doesn't want people trying to make deals with them. God, if we were all young once. We were all young once. And I remember making deals with God. Something to this capacity. God, if you're real, levitate that phone. I'm going to give you another chance, God. If you're truly real, levitate that phone. Oh, no. And we try to do, I know everybody's done it before. Like, God, if you're really real, you know, you put out a cookie for God. If you're real, eat this cookie. You didn't eat it. God, if you're real, don't eat that cookie. Tell me to eat it. Glory be to Jesus. I'll eat this in your name. And we're trying to make deals with God. We're trying to make deals with God. God, if you're really real, do this. God, if you're really there, if you really care about me, if you really love me, do this. And then I'll believe. Then I'll believe. God, if you're really out there, if you just save my mom from cancer, if you just save my brother from that gang, if you do that, God, I'll believe you. I'll believe in you. If, then I'll believe. If, then I'll believe. I'm going to be ending with this. Turn over to Luke, please. Luke in chapter 23. Now at this point, what's going on here is the reason that we're here right now. The reason you guys are sitting down listening to my voice. The reason we come here and praise and worship Jesus is dying on a cross. I just want to encourage you guys. If you haven't gotten the revelation of the cross, stop reading the rest of the Bible. Get the revelation of what Jesus Christ did. In chapter 23, in verse 39, it says, one of the criminals on the cross began to shout insults at Jesus, "Aren't you the Christ? Then save yourself and us." The other translation says, "If you are the Christ." He's suffering the same thing that Jesus Christ did. He's on a cross, but he deserves to be there. And he says, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and save me, and then I'll believe." He's an if believer. God, if you truly are, save me. Save yourself and save me. He's a believer that with a selfish mentality. He hasn't gotten the revelation of the cross. The most unselfish act ever. Ever. And he's saying one of the most selfish statements. If you truly are Christ, if you truly are who you say that you are, and you're so powerful and you're so spiritual and you're God Himself. If you are, then save me. And just right on the other side, the other criminal says, "Do you not even fear God? Do you not even fear God?" He wasn't an if believer. He begins to ask God, will you remember me when you leave, when you go to paradise, will you remember me? And he says, assuredly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Assuredly, I say to you. You guys have to understand that he's having a pretty bad day, this criminal. He's dying. But the best thing in his life that's ever happened to him happened at his darkest and worst moment. He encountered the love of God. You know, God's love never fails. Even when life fails us, even when our circumstances fail us, God's love, it goes on. You know, to be really honest, when I hear these teachings about the sovereignty of God, it grieves my heart. It grieves my heart. Because they don't know who their Savior is. They don't know God's nature, God's perfect love, that He would go and die on a cross. That even after all that, the only thing that remained was His love. You know, Jesus loves each and every one of us so, 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 so much. His will for you is not to suffer. His will for you is not to go through these trials and these tests so that you can learn, so you can be taught an example. That's not His will. That's not who God is. That's not His nature. That one example, the cross, is God's perfect love manifested. He doesn't want you to suffer. Jesus, God is love. And when tests and trials of this life happen, because life is going to happen, even this dark, dark time that we go through sometimes, life happens, God still loves. God's consistent. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says in Psalm, be still and know that I am God. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. You know, God, Jesus Christ, came and died on a cross so that we might know His love. Not that we might know pain, suffering, but we might know God and His nature, His true form. If you guys would be so kind, if you guys could just bow your heads right now. Lord Jesus, we just thank You for tonight, Lord. The whole reason, the whole plan, the whole purpose that we're here, Lord, is because of You. I thank You, Jesus, that we never, ever, ever, ever lose sight of that. That we never get caught up in the things of this life. That we never get tossed to and fro when life happens, Lord. Lord Jesus, that we just trust in You. We don't trust in the circumstances. Lord, we live a life of faith, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They knew that You were God and You were going to save them. And even if You didn't, Father, that You were still God, they believed in You and You alone. Lord Jesus, I never want to lose perspective, Father. I never want to come here and do it because it's something to do on Sunday nights or because it's the quote-unquote right thing to do, Lord. I want to come here because Your love drives me, Jesus. Because Your love, it pushes me, it motivates me. because everything that you did, Lord, affected me so much that I would give my life back over to you. Not my will, Jesus. Not my will, Lord. Jesus, we just thank you for tonight, Father. I thank you, Father, that your word went out, Jesus. I thank you, Father, that your word went out, Lord. I thank you, Father, that we never come here, Lord, and that this word falls on deaf ears, Lord. But Lord, I thank you, Father, that we hear and we understand. We know that it is good, Father. Lord Jesus, that you're only your love, Lord. Only your love goes on and on and on and on and on and on, Lord. Lord Jesus, so that it's nothing that we can do, Father, but it's what you've already done, Lord. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for everyone in this room tonight, Father. I just thank you for everyone that's part of By His Word Christian Center. I thank you for everyone that's a part of your church, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that as we go on, life happens, Jesus. As we go on, struggles happen, Lord. That, Lord, we don't begin to blame you. Lord Jesus, that all that does, Lord, is it just drives us for more souls, Jesus. Lord, that whatever that Satan threw evil, Lord, I thank you, Father, that you get the glory out of it, that you'll turn it into good, Jesus. Lord Jesus, when we're frustrated beyond belief, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we just trust in you, we trust in your word, we don't trust in this life and this dying system and this circumstances, Lord. Lord Jesus, that we never put our trust into this world, Lord, but we put our trust into you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, Lord, because you are just so worthy, Jesus. You are just so, so worthy, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In your mighty name. Amen and amen. All right, I love you guys all to death. You guys have a blessed week. Don't ever forget why we're here, what we're doing. We're out to love the lost. We're out to love the unlovely. Amen. Go out and be Christ in your workplace. Amen. You're dismissed. You can go.